Welcome back, everyone, to this 44th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
I'm sleepy.
Me too. It's almost 11 o'clock at night. I have a cold, and you're, like, ready to pass out, huh?
Yeah, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, we're recording this on Sunday night. We usually record on Friday, but we have been so busy. And here we are.
It's a weekend, man.
We're like a mess. We're just like, we're just all over the place.
Those always seem to be like the really fun shows. You know, we should have done this live. That would have been awesome.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that would be, that'd be interesting.
That's a good word for it. So we had Char Week.
Yes, we had Char Week this week. And we, you know, it's funny because we talked last week about how, you know, we kept promising an interesting show at the end of the week. And we didn't know it would be this interesting.
It's really, really the end of the week. I mean, we have an hour and 10 minutes left in your world.
Yeah, that's true. Before the complete end of the week. So we also had a lot of things going around other sites as well. So do you want to talk a little bit, kind of, I guess, starting from Monday?
Ooh, yeah. Let's see. Char Week began, with the starting area. I don't know if you had a chance to look at any of the Char starting area information from Monday. We had a little bit of concept art, and oh my gosh, even the concept art was so cool. It's just all very big and smoky and industrial. And it does, you know, it does pretty much what the starting areas that we've seen before do. It gives a huge sense of who the Char are and where they're coming from and what they want. And it's just, you know, it's just a really cool overall thing. But the little details are just, the little details are just as cool to me. And something that stood out that I noticed a lot of people talking about. You know what, I'm actually just going to read this from Devin Carter verbatim because it was really neat. We noticed we weren't making effective use of the space just outside the village of Smokestead, which is your Char starting area. So we decided that an event introducing the Char cattle industry would go a long way towards helping flesh out the Char world.
Oh, nice.
I mean, the Char cattle industry. Hi. How cool is that?
Yeah.
So when you first walk outside of Smokestead, you might see a cow startled by some worms stampeding out of the cattle pen. Well, he runs this starts a stampede and empties the pen of cattle. Well, those are needed to feed the Char armies.
So, wait, let me get this straight. We've got guns. We've got kind of industrialization. We've got kind of burned out looking, you know, I want to say steampunk, I guess. And then we've got cows. Like, this is right up my alley.
How cool is this?
So I'm making a Char mesmer. There it is.
A chesmer.
Chesmer.
A chesmer.
Or a
mezchar. It might be a mezchar. I don't know.
I like chesmer a lot more.
Chesmer. Sounds like it should be his name. Yep. But what's so cool to me is that it's those little details.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, before, we had no idea what, well, until Karen Thackeray started taking Gwen on his creepy picnic to get her drunk. We had no idea what people eat. I mean, it wasn't ever a thought. And now we're going, what do the Char eat? Well, they have to have something. I'll bet they raise cattle. That's what they eat.
So are you trying to say there's a McDonald's somewhere in Tyria?
McCharnold's. I don't know.
Char broiled.
But
so it would be a BK then, because they have char broiled. Anyway,
and they do it your way. The Char do not do that. The Char do it their way, and you can just go sit down and shut up. Okay, so let's see. What else do we have here on the starter area? Oh, I like this quote. The first thing you notice when you get to the village of Smokestead is the sheer amount of metal. It went from a small village with a few metal buildings to a village so full of metal it would make Motley Crue blush. It really does say that. So it's just, you know, I mean, it just sets the tone. And interestingly, it set the tone for the whole week.
Uh-huh.
And it just sets the tone as your chesmer. This is where he's going to start out.
I can't wait.
Are you so excited?
I'm so excited to use the name chesmer.
people, you're going to have to get it fast now that we've said it. You're either going to have to get it fast or you're going to cut this whole part out. Because otherwise it's going to be taken. So is it going to be like C-H-E-Z-Z?
Yeah.
Chesmer.
Yeah, the more Z's you have in a name, the better. Didn't you know that?
Sharp edge letters are the cool ones.
Anyway.
Z's and X's.
Yeah. So how about Tuesday? What did we see Tuesday? I'm moving you right along here.
Well, you like how I skipped the whole thing about what we were playing? Hi, yeah. It's our week. Move on. Let's see. Tuesday was Writing for the Bad Guys. This was, Scott McGough is one of the writers for Guild Wars 2. And he went, and he just talked about writing the Char and what he had to look at. He really had to go into the Char background from a lore perspective and say, you know, who are they beyond big furry cat creatures? What do they want? What do they fear? What do they hate? What do they love? What do they do? And look at really what they valued and where they were going and what direction he wanted to take them, that would still hold true to their background. So that was pretty cool. Let's see. I'm just kind of going through and picking out the really cool parts. He talked a little bit about the faux fire and, you know, kind of how that affected the Char. And it's just a look at his study process for writing the Char. And it also included some sound clips.
Oh, no. Well, did you like these?
This was the best of a bad lot. I hate saying that. I feel so bad. But you know what? And I wrote this up for Massively, and several people were like, you didn't say how you felt about the voice acting. Are you sick of saying you hate it? I was like, well, it's not really that. It's just, you know, I'm sick. I feel bad ragging on it all the time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't... This was closer to what I thought a Char should be. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm still not, it doesn't thrill me like the Races of Tyria video did. Mm-hmm. The Races of Tyria video, the voice work in that gave me chills. This, I don't hate it.
So, we were talking before about Ritlock and his voice compared to the others, and you said you liked it the best. I mean, do you still feel that way?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still do. And they just nailed it for Ritlock. Well, they nailed it for all of them. Mm-hmm. But Ritlock, his tone and the inflection and even more than just the sound of his voice just nailed it for me. This was not bad. This wasn't bad. The dialogue itself gave a good sense of how the Char interact with one another. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. The dialogue was well done. It wasn't... Again, it's just like saying bad things just does not really come naturally to me, I guess. But do you remember when we were playing the Norn stuff at GDC and our hero, she's kind of walking through town at the beginning and an NPC calls to her from like a side street or like an alley or over by a wall or something. And she was like, hey, you don't want to miss out on a chance for glory, do you? I was like, she is propositioning me. Seriously, that just sounded dirty. And that kind of thing, the inflection is just so far off in some of the stuff, it kills me. This was a little more on target.
Oh, okay.
So I'm happy with that.
Well, what if she was propositioning you? I mean, what if that's the...
That is a minigame I want no part of.
That's what they mean by a whole new type of quest.
Yeah, this now we're just venturing, and then you go down to the little dark alley with her, and you find yourself in Age of Conan.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens.
Yeah, and then it just all goes to pieces. So, no, this was, it's getting better. It's getting better.
Well, cool. Actually, it's funny, we'll read emails later, but there's an email that we got from someone saying kind of the opposite of what you just said, so.
That this was like the worst of the lot?
Yeah, yeah, so.
The human voice acting made me cringe. I was so disappointed. I was so sad. The Norn, it's like it gets better every time. So maybe by the time we get to the last race week, you know, because the Norn, I was kind of like, ugh, it's at least not as cringe-inducing as the humans were.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. It's getting better.
Okay, well, what about Wednesday?
Let's see. Wednesday we have... Oh, this was the cool one. They talked to Katie Hargrove, Kristen Perry, and I'm a complete Kristen Perry fangirl, and Keikai Kotaki about designing the char, designing the look of the char. Mm-hmm. And this is probably my favorite because I'm such a sucker for graphics and cool details. And I just, you know, I love hearing about how they created these things. I am going to read several things verbatim here because there was just so much that I loved. Let's see. They talked to Katie Hargrove first. And Katie Hargrove is the artist way back when that created the original look of the char.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She pretty much invented the char.
Yeah. Yep. And let's see. She had... They had the char down on paper before she ever drew the thing.
Yeah.
They knew who they were. They didn't know what they looked like. And she said the upside of that was that I had a lot of artistic freedom when it came to designing the char. That was what she said, you know, was the good thing. Mm-hmm. But the downside of that is that they had a lot of artistic freedom in designing the char.
Yeah.
So it was hard to find, you know, it was hard to take these words on paper and translate this to what do these things look like? Mm-hmm. She said the original concept art, it just seemed like Catman, which wasn't that impressive. And she said it even came troublingly close to being cute. It's not what you want.
No.
So they really, you know, they gave him the big sweeping horns and really they went with, you know, the char were really into fire. That's their thing. And she kind of took that and incorporated that whole fiery thing into their look. Not like they were flaming char, but... And she came up with, at the end, she called them a fire-worshipping race of hellcats, which I love so much.
So, kind of like Thundercats.
Infinitely cooler. I'm sorry. They really are.
Okay, I'll give you that. They don't have tights on, so...
No. They are scary as all hell. Katie had a lot of very cool things to say about how these things came into being from the very first. And then we went on to Kristen Perry. And let's see. She talked a lot about creating the female char, which is really, I mean, that has generated so much talk in the Guild Wars 2 community. And I think everybody probably kind of understood how difficult it was to create the female char. Because she needed to, I mean, she still needed to be scary. You don't want a cute little cat girl with an hourglass figure prancing around, because that's not what the char are. And she said they did a lot of concept art with experimentation in mind, just trying to figure out almost like what they didn't want by creating this concept art. And they made like a mix of human and char, human female and char female, to see what they could come up with mixing those two things. And what she said was the human part of our char cat girl wasn't human enough to be cute, and the char part of her wasn't char enough to be fierce, let alone look like a female of the same species. So while this experiment was very important for visualization, in the end, it didn't give us the result we wanted. So that was just... And I think everybody has been really happy. I haven't heard negative feedback on the female char, have you?
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, I think what they ended up coming up with, to me, is very feminine and absolutely gorgeous, but still scary.
Yeah.
I mean, you do not want to screw with her. So, and then there's this last part, and this was the part that I was like, okay, I've got to read all this verbatim, because it was very, very good. There was a big discussion in the ArenaNet staff about the breasts on char females because, you know, that's such, as stupid as it sounds, that's such a big part of the fantasy genre. And what she said about that, this was Kristen Perry again, she said, finally there was a matter of what to do with the chest. It really didn't make sense to have boobs on a char female, particularly with all the effort we took to make her sleek and fierce. We thought they should have none at all, or at least hide them under some fluffy fur. Above all else, we needed to be true to the race. There was still some debate, however, so I gave them a choice. And I love how she just, like, laid down the law here. Either be subtle and downplay them because it wasn't the point of the race anyway, or go full-on realistic. Yes, that's right. None or six.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, she said, and then she said, but really, the armor augmentation required for 6 boobs would be just ridiculous. So then it was. I absolutely love that. But what I like about it is that she wasn't going to sit there and just slap a pair of breasts on a char just for the sake of getting those into the game.
Yeah.
She was like, you know what, we're not going to do this at all, or you're going to do it right and say, all right, this is a cat, so she's got 6. You know, do it right or don't do it at all.
That's funny.
And I got such a kick out of it.
Yeah.
So, and then finally they talked to Keikai Kotaki, and they had this question that was like a paragraph long. And they just said, you know, you're bringing the char 250 years into the future, and this, that, and the other, and how are you doing that, and what did you look for, na, 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 na. And his entire quote was, my approach was simple. Make the char badass, and then make them even more badass. The end. That was his entire design philosophy.
I think it sounds like he does that with everything.
What, make it even more badass?
Yeah.
He really does. He doesn't seem like a big talker. He's just going to sit down and draw you something awesome.
That's true.
Yeah, but I do. I can't decide if that is my favorite quote or none or 6.
I vote for none or 6.
That was pretty awesome. I saw people tweeting that. So that was Wednesday. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, Thursday was the video. Did you ever get to watch that?
No, I didn't.
I know you have. But I know you spent like 3 straight days trying to find 5 minutes to sit down and watch that stupid video.
Yeah.
Okay, the video was awesome to me for, again, the little details. And I know I go on and on and on about these little background details, but they put so much work into them. And if you look, it really shows. The video starts out, and I'm actually kind of like opening this in a separate window and muting it so I can look at the stuff that I'm talking about. The video starts out with a pan across. It looks like pre-searing. I mean, it's clearly Ascalon. It's beautiful. The lakes aren't tar anymore. Things are green and growing. But then in the background, you can see the ruins of old Ascalon. So what's cool about this and what's going on here is that Ascalon, it's not scorched earth anymore. I mean, it's recovering from the searing and it's starting to grow again. But you've still got these human ruins in the back. And that's what you start out with is, I mean, it shows anybody that's familiar with Guild Wars prophecies immediately can look at this and understand what they're seeing and the indication of the passage of time. And that to me, in just a little 5-second video clip, is cool to me that they managed to do that. And then it keeps panning on. Well, this is the outskirts of the Black Citadel, and all of a sudden, bam, you're in the Black Citadel. There's no more green, there's no more trees, everything is metal and smoke and fire. And weaponry. And the background, I have to look because I'm not familiar enough with the Lotros soundtrack. The music was amazing, and we got several comments saying that they ripped this off from the Lotros soundtrack. I was like, I don't really think that's what happened. Oh, here we go. This soundtrack unabashedly rips off the Isengard industrial theme with the heavy use of brass and percussion. I guess it's fitting, but it's just an odd Lord of the Rings echo in there. Does that tell you anything?
That's weird. I mean, I think they're not really saying that it's the exact same tune. It's just like the
feel.
Yeah, the feel and the use of instruments, which, I don't know, that seems a little, that doesn't seem very valid, you know?
I don't,
that they can't use the same instruments.
Yeah, that's no more percussion. Yeah. When someone else came in and said, that's funny, I thought it sounded an awful lot like Conan the Barbarian from the 80s. I guess that's whoever wrote the score for Lord of the Rings stole it from. And I guess, you know, that goes back to the art argument that everybody's had a million times. You know, who ripped off the first orc design, I guess.
Yeah.
But, again, I'm not familiar enough with this soundtrack to know, but I know, to me, it just felt like Char. And ArenaNet always does such a stellar job with the music. But it had this very forceful, militaristic, staccato feel to it that just fit what the Char that they're showing us, the race that they're introducing us to this week. This was the perfect background music. So everything was just, you know, huge and soaring, and there was this feel that they didn't sit down and say, okay, you know, we need five furnaces slightly to the north, and we need this. It's just if they need it, they build it where there's room. So it had this feeling almost like it was built piecemeal, just looking at the Black Citadel. But, you know, because everything was kind of crammed in wherever there was room. But it worked very, very well, and everything ended up fitting nicely. It was a very cool look.
That's cool. See, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the... It's almost like the exact contrast opposite of the Savari. Once we learn about them, you know, all natural and...
Yeah.
You know, fluffy and stuff like that.
They're going to be so cute. I'm looking forward to seeing that. But no, this is the exact opposite. And it's funny because you got to see... You know, a lot of their machines, and there were these big vehicle things that everybody gets so excited about.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. But what excited me overall about this is that all of this industrial, it's like the Char Iron Age is what I called it. This is in our fantasy game, and it fits. I mean, think about how cool that is.
Yeah.
I mean, we have guns and armored vehicles in a fantasy setting, and they made it work.
Well, I mean, fantasy doesn't have to mean medieval. You know, fantasy is kind of whatever you want it to be. And there are so many other games out there with high fantasy, or not high fantasy, but, you know, the fantasy that gets away from Tolkien's world, which is, you know, the games that have, you know, kind of flintlock guns and piratey themes and stuff like that, which I think work out really well.
Oh, it absolutely does. But it's not the norm. I mean, it's just one more way in which they're breaking out from the standard... fantasy, blah, blah.
Yeah, and, yeah, the medieval.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, thou shalt and all that stuff. But no, there's no room for that stuff here. I absolutely love it. I got such a kick out of it. And like you said, it's such a big contrast to the Silvari. The starting zones are what, that you know, that really sets your tone, depending on what race you play. And I don't know, is there a game that has such... incredibly varied starting zones? Is there another one that has such a wide range?
Well, World of Warcraft.
See, and, I wouldn't know, and I was afraid. I was asking that. I was like, I'll bet WoW does this, and I have no freaking clue.
Well, Warhammer used to, but they consolidated. They used to have some really nice starting zones. I don't know. There are a few other ones, but It is always nice when you can have separate starting zones, either racial starting zones or ones you can pick, you know, from the beginning. And then you look at, in contrast to that, other games that don't allow you to do that. And it's it kind of bottlenecks everyone in. Like Age of Conan does that. Everybody starts in Tortage or the area around there. I don't know. I like the choice because it makes you want to go back and play as another race and experience a different starting zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to see everything.
Yeah.
Oh, it absolutely does to me, too. Just because everything we've seen before, it almost seems like a different game every time. I mean, you've got the human area, which is your almost colonial human town. You've got the Char area, which is this big industrial, harsh zone. And you've got the Norn up in the north. You're going to have the Silvari, which, you know, I assume is a completely natural, like you said. A completely different feel. And it seems to me like it's almost going to feel like a different game every time.
Yep.
And you're going to have to play everything because it's going to be so different.
I was going to anyway, but...
I know you were, but... I think, you know, this is going to introduce me to Altaholicism. Is that right?
I'm not that contagious. You haven't gotten that yet from me?
Well, I don't know. You know, I have three characters in Worm, and I blame you.
Yeah.
So it was just very, very cool. It gave such a great feel for this race.
So what about Friday?
Friday was so cool because we got a little story. We got a little lore story. And this was, you know, what this made me think of. You know, we've talked about the Game of Thrones books before, and I know everybody's, you know, really into that right now because of the show. But I had a hard time reading Game of Thrones. I keep wanting to say Game of Thorns so badly. I had a hard time reading Game of Thrones because I would go through the chapter and I would really be into what I was reading. And I'd turn the page, bam, completely different character. And I was like, wait a minute, I wasn't done with this first one. And I hated that jumping back and forth. And when I looked at Friday's blog entry, it was written by Reese Ousby. And she did that. There was, half of this was told from her perspective. She's telling about the Char and about their history. And then half of this is a story. I mean, like an actual story from the perspective of a Char. And it's just a little vignette of life as a Char. And it was jumping back and forth. And my first thought was, oh man, I'm going to hate this because I hate that kind of thing. But it worked. It was almost like the story was a supplement. She would talk a little bit about an aspect of Char history or an aspect of the Char outlook, and then you'd get a little piece of this story that like supplemented that and backed it up and looked deeper into it. So that worked out pretty well. But the story was a Blood Legion soldier and an Ash Legion soldier. And what it illustrated was that these two, the Iron Legion is the closest thing that the Char have to a leader right now. Because nobody has the Claw of the Con-Ur. Queen Jenna has that right now, as at the time of Guild Wars 2. So nobody can, you know, hold that thing up and say, I've got this and I am the supreme commander of the entire Char race. The Iron Legion, they're really the strongest. They're in the best position to be the leader right now. So the Blood and Ash Legions are kind of underneath them, but, you know, the Char, they're not going to admit that anytime soon. So it's kind of an uneasy alliance, and there's a lot of friction between the different, I mean, like, in this story, the Blood Legion soldier, she was talking to one of the Ash Legion soldiers and calling him Ash Trash. And that was, you know, you've got this, they're working together, but all three legions kind of view themselves as superior to the other ones. And you can see them chafing against this alliance, but knowing that they've got to suck it up and do it. So the story illustrated that really nicely. And then Rhee gave a background of the Flame Legion and, you know, Kala Scorch Razor and everything that came before. Explained a little bit about how the legions work. She actually gave a rundown of the hierarchy and the chain of command. She talked about Char Cubs and, I don't know, do you know how to pronounce the... Well, I have this guy's name. It's B-O-B, and I'm not sure how to say that. It looks like Farrar, F-A-H-R-A-R. This is like the boot camp where Char Cubs are taken as soon as they can walk and wield a weapon.
Aww.
And that's it. I mean, I want to see a Char Cub so badly. I need to see a baby Char.
With weapons?
Yes, it'd be so cute in a little Fisher-Price sword.
That has to be a mini pet, too.
Oh, I'd die.
In Guild Wars 1, I wonder if you'd...
Oh my gosh, there's new mini pets coming. Oh, and I'm out of gold. Crap.
There we go.
Oh, man. All right, I got to farm. I got to go. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh, it did not hit me until this second that 6th-year mini pets are like right around the corner.
Yeah, should be this week.
Oh, there's got to be a Char Cub. How cute would that be? I'm going to die. Okay, Char Cubs. As Char Cubs are born, they are brought to their legions. Word I can't pronounce. Somebody needs to tell me how to say that, please. Just send it to me phonetically. I don't care. But this is like their little boot camp. And Char Cubs don't really have contact with their parents. And Char parents might keep a little track of their cubs as they grow because they might do something really cool that's worthy of referring to in the bloodline, in the family history down the road. But their warband, that is their family.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so it's just this, I guess, you know, they know, and this is part of this whole, they're so determined and they are so clear on what they want to do and how they want to do it, that they know these Char, you're going to grow up to be a soldier in this army, so we may as well start you when you're a cub from the second you can stand up and walk. And this, your warband, that is your family. Your parents, your siblings, don't worry about that. That's not a thing. Yeah, so it is extremely, extremely cool. And if you don't have a warband, I mean, you are absolutely the lowest of the low. You're an untouchable.
And you know what I like too about the lore stuff is you're mentioning about how they kind of show the Searing from the other side. You know, they show it from, you know, the humans are bad. You know, it's their fault, and I like that. I like that it's because all we've heard so far is the human side of it, and I always like hearing the other side of things. So that's pretty exciting.
I do too, and actually, I don't know if this is going to come out before or after tomorrow's Flameseeker Chronicles, but I said something similar in the Flameseeker Chronicles, in that I kind of feel a sympathy for the Char. They were there first,
Yeah.
you know, and then here we come. And we're like, you know what? We want to live here. You're going to have to go. So and that's not to say that, you know, I don't think the Searing was horrible, and you know, I understand why Gwyn was so broken, and she had every reason to be. I mean, the Char prisoner camps were horrible places, but they kind of were there first, and we did kind of come in and start slaughtering them. So I do, you know, I enjoy hearing it from this side, like you said.
Yeah. Well, cool.
So, and that was Char Week.
And that was Char Week. And we'll put links to the coverage on Massively, including that video and all that good stuff,
Definitely.
so you can check all that out. I did have a few emails I wanted to read too.
Awesome.
Hopefully, I don't lose my voice in the middle of these.
You actually don't sound too bad.
Well, let's see. I haven't been talking either, so. Okay, so this first one, it's a short and sweet one. It just says, "Hey Sean, just wanted to say that it's good to see your show back. I just found it today, Googling some stuff about Guild Wars. I always thought it was a bummer when you all quit producing the show. I found it very entertaining. Anyway, just wanted to let you know, that there's another listener out there who appreciates the work you put in, Tom." Cool. I wonder, Tom, you don't say in here, but I wonder, were you an original listener of the original show? Because that would be cool.
Well, he said he was bummed when you stopped the first one.
Yeah, so I imagine. But yeah,
His
we've been, it's been almost a year now, hasn't it? In May, it'll be a
yeah,
year.
we are closing in on a year.
That's crazy.
Well, Tom
Crazy.
is clearly a man of discerning taste, and I'm impressed.
Okay, this next one. I like this. "Greetings, Sean and Ruby. Ruby and Sean. Other. This is a taco. A
Like, hey,
taco."
here's a taco.
Like, that just made me hungry now.
I know, man, I need a taco.
He says, "Sending this Tuesday afternoon, so sorry for missing info on Char Week. Forward to speculation. Listening to your last podcast, Ruby asked, 'How sure are we about the Gunner Gunslinger class?' Unfortunately, I can't find the blog post, but ArenaNet mentioned that there would be two professions with access to pets and one profession with just bows, one profession with just guns. Well, we have two professions left: ranger as pets, bows, and no guns. Therefore, going with what was said, the next adventure profession will be guns with no bows and pets. Giving us the gunslinger, sniper, engineer, whatever. Also, in another blog, they mentioned the playstyle, the Mesmer, would have a comparable in Guild Wars 2, and during the final four, before the Guardian and Thief, they said that there would be an old profession, two professions with elements from different old professions, and one completely new profession. Well, Guardian and Thief fit the two newish with elements from Monk, Warrior, and the Assassin, with some Ranger flare thrown in, respectively. Mesmer has been named in both books as a profession, and a character has been named as well. So my jury says Mesmer beyond a reasonable doubt."
Duh.
"As for the Char, I'm apprehensive about the voice work, considering what I heard from the demo videos. Hopefully the voice work there was just copy-paste filler for some time purposes on the demo, because the few Char I heard sounded way too human. Aside from that, I'm anxious to see how Ascalon has regrown in the 250 years after the Searing, and how the Char's industrial-slash-steampunk way of life has changed the environment. One specific area that I will likely have to wait until release to see is the giant crystal and crater in Pockmark Flats from Guild Wars 1. Are the crystals still there? Has the plant life regrown after the destruction? We've seen snippets of the Black Citadel and the area right around the Dragon Brand, but these spots are the capital city and the Dragon's Trail of Destruction, not the main landscape. As for the greatest April Fool's joke ever, the Commando. I enjoyed the quest and can see a possible Guild Wars 3 profession after another 250 years. Who wouldn't want a Norn-sized tank parked next to an Asura? Anywho, that's my rambling. Enjoy and hope you read this. Toodles from a taco.
Toodles from a taco.
Yes.
Sounds like the name of a book or something.
A kid's book, Toodles from a Taco?
Or a cookbook one.
Okay, so making our way down this email. Okay, so what you're saying is, let me see if I can follow this. Rangers, pets, bows, and no guns. Therefore, going with what was said, the next adventure profession will be guns, no bows, and pets. So they're saying that they're kind of agreeing with us, with this gunslinger slash sniper slash engineer, whatever. So yeah, we're right. That's basically what he's saying, right?
Well, I like when people say that.
yeah, I still go, I mean, basically the first two paragraphs here are saying, yes, you're probably right about the sniper thing, and yes, you're probably, without a reasonable doubt, right about the mesmer thing. So I'd like to believe that.
I do believe that.
But who knows? I mean, we may be surprised. I don't think we'll be surprised in the mesmer thing, but I'd like to see what they're going to do with the gun thing.
I wish they'd hurry up. I just need to see. I don't care what. Just show me something. Give me another class.
Should be pretty soon, huh? What, like another month?
A month?
Because it was the beginning of March when we got the thief.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, actually it was late February, accidentally.
You know what? This is the one week of the year that I refuse to speculate on anything that Guild Wars does because I want to be surprised for the birthday.
Ah, yes. Didn't you call... You said something about the birthday...
Winds of Change.
Oh, yeah.
And that wasn't even... I don't even know. That's not even me trying to speculate. It's just completely in my head, and I'm convinced that Winds of Change is coming.
Hmm. That's a good point. We'll probably hear something.
But no, I can't speculate on a class reveal this week. Because I don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah.
And then if they do give us one, then I'll be all happy. If that's our birthday present, I'll be happy. But I don't want to think about it too hard. It'll just stress me out.
So you're psyching yourself out. Huh?
I am.
I see. Okay, so this next email. This is Farkas again. Farkas writes, I think, every single week. It says, it's Farkas and I'm terrified, in all caps and 20 exclamation marks afterwards. does the new skill bar mean that I'll be carrying around 15 weapons at any time, at any given time? I got to be ready for any situation, right? Or did I misunderstand something?
I can't wield 15 weapons.
Yeah, well, I think what he's saying is, you know, getting all those weapons in your bag to be ready for any situation instead of carrying around a build. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's item-based now. So does that, I mean, what, are we going to have, like, bigger bags, or they're going to sell us more bag space, or, you know?
Oh, man. Well, there already is so much of Guild Wars, of new things that they've introduced in Guild Wars 1, I've seen as things that are leading us into Guild Wars 2. And equipment packs are one of those. Maybe we'll have some sort of weapon pack.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do that. But yeah, it would kind of suck if we had to carry on all those weapons. I don't think it's going to be like that.
Again, I hope not. I'm like the anti-pack rat, and I have to have several weapons, they at least need to be organized in their own little container.
By color and size and material.
No, just stuff I need to use, stuff I might need to swap out pretty quickly. See, I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4 bags and my 20 slot equipment pack. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how this works. There's a thing. The equipment pack is all my headpieces because I'm an Ellie, so I've got my headpieces and all my little weapon sets. And if I happen to have room, a spare armor set. I don't know why, just because I might want to wear something cute. Okay. Then in that little bottom bag that's not my belt pouch. Maybe. That's like my little, just, you know, that little last bag when you hit F9 and open all your inventory is my salvage kit, my ID kit, my mini pet, and any consumables. Everything above that is drops. See, yeah. It has to be, and if it's not right, I don't like it. So there needs to be some kind of equipment pack. I'm with Farkas. Don't make me make a mess of my inventory. I have a problem with that.
Yeah. Oh, I am too. I'm there too.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm actually in the bag where my salvage kit and my ID kit and my mini pet go. Those three things go in the bottom. You know when you're looking at it and it's like a block of little squares?
Yeah.
All right. My salvage kit has to be in the very bottom right-hand square. ID kit is directly to the left of it. Mini pet is to the left of that. It's got to be in that order. I am like that psychotic about it.
A little OCD.
So, A little bit. But I kind of confess to being a little bit apprehensive about that like he is. Am I going to have a crap ton of stuff to juggle it? And are you going to give me a special bag to keep it in?
Yep.
They're going to need to.
Like a weapons, like a holster or something like that?
That would be so awesome.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Even just an equipment bag, I'll be happy.
Alrighty, let's go on to this next email. This one says, "Hi guys, first off, let me say you guys are fantastic." Wait.
He can say that.
This? Oh, it's a she. But
she can say it too.
Says, "Y'all were," it literally says y'all, "y'all were the first Guild Wars podcast I started listening to when I made my not-so-grand return into the world of Guild Wars. I left not long after Eye of the North released for the Siren Call of WoW, then finally left after the toxic environment that was the WoW player base finally ground me into the dirt too much."
Aww.
But that's another story, I suppose. "It feels great to return to my very first MMO, and I'm so stoked for Guild Wars 2, it's pathetic." No, we understand. It's cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah. "And you guys make it even better. Your entertaining discussion of the latest news and views of the trickling of information helps keep me amused during the long days of work. Anyway, so since Char Week has drawn to a close, I'm wondering, which week has been your favorite so far? While each of them has been pretty fantastic, in my opinion, I think that Norn Week may have been might have to be my favorite. They were the best part of Eye of the North, I felt, and it thrilled me to have even more background and information for them. Alternately, which of the two remaining races would you like to see next? Again, y'all are great fun. Thanks so much for podcasting. All the best, Amanda."
Thank you, Amanda. Oh, that made my night.
So, what would you say is your favorite week?
Oh, you know what? Human Week. And I know that's so trite and it's almost a cliche, but I love Divinity's Reach. I need to see every inch of Divinity's Reach. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, I think it's the video that got me. Looking at, they're panning through the streets and you've got this carnival over here and they pan up to Queen Jenna's castle and it's absolutely stunning. It's so beautiful and yeah. I need to see all of it.
Yeah. I would have to agree. I think Human Week was my favorite, too, but I think it was maybe for a different reason, just because it was first. You know what I mean? Like, it was mm-hmm. the first one we saw, and it was so exciting for that reason.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, we've played humans, you know, all through Guild Wars 1, so
right.
That's kind of the one we relate to the most anyway. So it's kind of like seeing, you know, a part of our story there again. And I think that was definitely my favorite.
You know, that is actually a really good point that we've played this and there's this familiarity. Because I remember when I was doing a demo, I was inside Divinity's Reach and oh my gosh, it was killing me because I had like 13 minutes and there was so much I needed to see. And I was running and the ArenaNet employee, she pointed off to the right of the screen. She said, "If you go over there, there are statues of the six human gods." And I just, like, screeched to a halt and went zipping over there. And I was going, oh, my gosh, it's Balthazar. And look, there's a Duena statue. And, oh, my gosh, there's Melandra. And, and it's this combination of the familiar and new that I just loved. And I want to explore it all now.
Totally. Yeah, it makes sense. Another question she says is, which one are we looking forward to the most?
Well, what do you want to see?
I want to see Silvari. That's the one... Yeah, I'd say that's the one I'm looking forward to most.
I'm kind of with you on that, just because they're the mysterious ones. And I've actually said this before, Silvari's going to be the first race that I roll. For the same reason, I want to know about them. I want to learn. We know next to nothing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we will by the time launch happens. But
yeah, but I need Sawari Week.
Yeah. So we agree on human and Sawari. That's boring.
Well, okay, here's a question for you. She was talking about how much she loved the Norn. Uh-huh. I don't share the Norn love. I don't hate them. They kind of fall flat for me. They always have. They were just kind of part of it. Please tell me you disagree so we won't be boring.
Well, I hate to say it. I kind of agree.
Crap.
But I don't. It's not that I don't like them or they fall flat. It's just I think they're the lesser of the awesomeness. Is that a phrase? Can I say that?
It is now. You know what? It is going on midnight. It's whatever you want a phrase to be a phrase.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's probably. I mean, you know, the Asura, I'm so interested in them because of the fact that that they're kind of tinkerers. You know, when I play World of Warcraft, I played a gnome first, and I really enjoy that. And the Char kind of have that in there too, you know, with the industrialization and everything. The humans, of course, I love because they're, you know, humans, and we know them, and we're part of them, you know. And then the Sovari are new and fresh and exciting. So the Norn, you know, it's like, yeah, it's cool. They can turn into bears, and they're always cold, but... It's, you know, they're big humans, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, there was actually an arena net quote that said they are not big humans.
That's why I said that.
You're so mean. Now, and it's not, and I want to be very clear that I don't think either of us are, like, running the Norn down.
Yeah.
They just didn't thrill either of us.
Yeah. So, but I will, I'll certainly make a Norn and play one.
Yeah, well, you have to. You got to see the starting area.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, let's see. I think I have one more email here. It says, hey there, Shrawbunny.
Shrawbunny?
It says it's a horrible mix of your names, but it's the only one I could think of that hasn't been used yet. Anyway, I basically just want to say something that really disappointed me about Char Week, and it's really the only disappointment for me from Guild Wars 2, and it's the voice acting. Here we go.
Ah.
And hopefully Ruby doesn't think it's amazing, unlike the other races. Because up till now, I disagreed with her on her view on the voice acting for the rest of the races. I wanted to say that the voice acting isn't bad, but it is really misplaced for the Char. Half the time, they sound like the Chars should, and the other half, they seem more like a human speaking. I noticed this a lot more with female Char. And I want to go back and re-listen to everything, but the Guild Wars 2 site isn't loading for me.
Oops.
Now, if it's actually human speaking to the Char, just say so, and I'll take the whole misplaced voice thing back. And also, I wanted to say good work with Guildcast. I don't miss an episode. Peace out, you guys, and I hope the Easter Bunny leaves you fancy things.
Mm.
X says, yes, that's my full name. Haha, X. So, yeah, there you have it. Complete opposite of what you were saying earlier.
And it has been the last two times, too. Now, what interests me, there's some sort of consistency here. There's some sort of thread through all of this that has made us... I mean, X and I, we have been polar opposite opinion on every time. And even with the chart, we flip-flopped, so we were still polar opposites. I wonder what common or opposite preference we both have that is causing this. And I think about stuff like that. Sorry.
I don't know. I just, for me personally, I don't really think that strongly about any of them. I mean, I guess when you were pointing out a few of the cheesiness parts, like the pew-pew thing and all that, I was like, yeah, I guess I could see that. But I like it all. I mean, I like this Char one a lot, you know. It's just, and you know, I think once we see them in the game and they're talking to us, it'll make it a whole lot better. That's just what I think.
You know, in the Char video, which you really need to watch, just saying.
Yeah.
You can hear them talking. And this is actually something kind of interesting. You can hear them talking. You can't really make out what they're saying, but you can hear the way the voices sound and the inflection, and I liked it. So whatever they're doing there, I don't know. But I liked it in the video. But I don't like these conversations that we hear with each race reveal. I don't know if it sounds stilted to me or if it's... None of it fits for me. It's just so jarring. This was the least jarring of the bunch. So I don't know. I wish I could put my finger on it. I always have, and I just can't. It just never fits for me.
Well, we have two races left, right?
Yay!
So we'll see if they keep getting better. If they save Savari for last, what if what do you think the Savari are going to sound like? They're going to be like really.
I'm trying not to think about that.
Like tiny elf voices, or
I don't know. If they sound like Strawberry Shortcake, I'm going to be really mad. Like the little Strawberry Shortcake and her friends, or Rainbow Bright. I don't know. They just, please get it right. Please don't. I don't know. You know what? Kaith, they all need to sound like Kaith in the video. She did it for me. It worked.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I can't wait for this now. I can't wait to hear your reaction.
Oh, man. Please don't screw this up.
Well, I think that's about all we had. I wanted to mention one thing really quickly, though. As we kind of hinted, you know, at the beginning of the show that we kind of had to postpone this because we're so busy and everything. I just want to mention, I got a second job recently, and I'm working for a college, and I'm setting up a game design course, actually a degree, and this is taking up a lot of time. I mean, it's a, you know, I didn't have a lot of time in the first place, but so this is taking up the rest of it. So the things that have to be sacrificed are things like, you know, podcasting. And that doesn't mean that we're getting rid of Guildcast, but we're probably not going to be as frequent for a while here. And it might be as sporadic as we are here, you know, recording on a Sunday or whatever. It might be every 2 weeks. I don't know. We're just going to kind of play it by ear whenever Ruby and I can get together and record, because it's, I don't know, it's a pretty hectic schedule. Plus, I don't know, I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm complaining or listing, you know, all the things that keep me busy, but I'm in the middle of, I'm planning a wedding, you know, and I'm also, you know, two jobs, planning a wedding, getting ready to move in probably July. It's a lot of stuff.
You've got a ton going. My kids are going to be out of school. I've got three kids, and they're going to be out of school in less than a month. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's getting ready to get really insane, more so for you, but it's getting ready to get pretty insane for both of us.
Well, I mean, I always hate when I listen to podcasts and they're like, oh, I'm so busy, I can't do this anymore, you know, because then it's like, well, then don't, you know, don't tell us about it, just, you know, don't
Well,
complain.
But you don't want to pod fade either. I mean,
yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you and I both work well over 40 hours a week at Massively.
Oh, yeah. I would say 60 at least.
Yeah, and you're trying to get married. Yeah. You're working at least 20 hours a week at this other job.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, my oldest is getting ready to start high school. This is going to be an insane summer.
Yeah. So, I mean, basically what we're saying is, you know, we're not going to be as regular, probably be a little sporadic. And what we're going to try to do to make up for it, because the thing is editing. Editing takes several hours. Sitting down and recording only takes an hour. You know, we sit down, we talk for an hour, and that's it. So what we're going to try to do to make up for that is go on the Relics of War podcast a little bit more, like we did last week. It's, you know, it's easy. We could sit there, we could talk about Guild Wars stuff, and I think
and then Ryan
well.
Can edit.
Yeah, and Ryan can worry about all that stuff, and then we can just, you know, go on with our lives. So we'll probably, I don't know, we probably won't do that, you know, every week, of course, but every once in a while we'll jump on there and kind of keep updated. So I'm not saying we're moving to a 2 week schedule for sure, or I'm not saying, you know, like a once a month thing. I'm saying that it's going to be kind of whenever.
When we can.
Yeah, whenever we can, whenever big news happens. So instead of, you know, sticking by a schedule and then going, what should we talk about? We're going to wait until there's something to talk about and then record, you know. I think that'll work. So, yeah, that's, I don't know, kind of sad news, but...
I know.
We're still here.
But, yeah, you couldn't get rid of us that easily. Sorry.
So, if you want to send us email, send it to Sean, S-H-A-W-N, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com. Check out our Twitter and Facebook pages and our main page at guildcast.com, where we have the show notes and everything. I'm going to go take some NyQuil and pass out.
Good Lord, yes.
That sound like a good idea?
I think so.
All right, so until next time, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.
Holy crap, I'm talking so fast.